Here's some points that I want to make from these verses. Okay? Rebellion from your human authority is actually rebellion from God. Okay? When they rebelled from Samuel, they were really angry at God. And until you come to the reality of that, I mean, if this is going on in your personal relationship with your parents or with anyone that God has placed in authority over you, you have to learn to see that that rebellion is ultimately directed at God. Though you may direct it toward your human authority, and though they were saying, well, it's you, Samuel, it's you, the problem is the judges, the problem is our circumstances, they would not deal with the fact that the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth, their rebellion with God, was the real problem. And that's what God is always going to apply pressure to your life to get you to realize. God wants for us not to rebel from the human authority that he places over us. And there's a way to learn to do that that supplies and provides for you good health. And you'll never have good spiritual health as long as you're in rebellion against the authority that God has placed over you. We're going to deal with this in much more detail as we go through the life of David and the life of Saul, because there's going to be some tremendous contrast as far as how people deal with authority. And David not only knew how to exercise authority, he also knew how to submit himself under authority and under the Lord's authority. And it was key. It was a key aspect of his having a heart after God and his success as a king. Always learn submission the first way. Man, I just can't say this enough. You know, it's learn it under the judge rather than the king. You know, it's going to make your life so much better. But what God will do is if you don't learn it under the judge, he's going to put a king over you and you'll still have to learn submission. Okay? Learn it under your father rather than your husband. You know, save yourself a lot of grief. Learn to submit to the authority that God has placed over you. Learn how to submit to your father so that when you have a husband, that God will help you and you'll know how to submit. Learn to submit to your family rather than the military. You know, you're going to have to learn it. You'll have to learn to submit. And it's just the way that everything is designed. We live in a world where authority is abused. And we must learn how to respond appropriately, even under times of abuse, under those authorities that are over us. Okay. Thirdly, learn to quickly attune yourself to God's will. You see, the problem was that they had figured out what to do. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. And they just won't learn. Develop a thankful heart. Here's a real, this is so key. And I know that I've brought this up before, but learning to thank God. You know, just suppose that the elders of Israel had sat down and said, well, let's rehearse the things that God has done, his faithfulness, his goodness, and think about this thing from the right perspective. As you give thanks, your attitude changes, your perspective changes. And unless you learn to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and all things give thanks, then you're always going to be one of those complainers. You're always going to gripe. It's just the nature of our flesh. That's the way we are. So God commands us to be thankful for all things. That means bad things. Taking what is rotten in life and looking at it and saying, God, I give you thanks because you promised that all things work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purposes. I can't see anything good in this, but I thank you for it anyway. That's a powerful thing. And it's a biblical lesson that we need to learn. Now, suppose that they had sat down and said, God, thank you for our judges, for how you delivered us. You've been so good to us. We won't ever want to do anything to try to move outside of your authority and try to do anything that would be displeasing to you. So just thank you. And it would have made a big difference as far as the decisions that were made here. Seek the counsel of the godly when you're cloudy with sin. I can't expect, you know, if you're confused Yeah, and that's the way sin is. Sin is always darkness. It always confuses the mind, confuses our thinking. Okay? When you're cloudy, go to people that will tell you the truth. Go to godly counsel. Go to those that will love you enough that they'll tell you the truth, even if they know it's going to hurt you, and even if they know that you might not like it. And make yourself the type of person that can go for that kind of counsel. It'll save you a lot of grief, because for each and every one of us, there are times when we become clouded with sin and we can't see properly. We can't see things straight. And this is what has happened with Israel. Oh Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things. It's good to remember his faithfulness. Do you remember? Do you remember God's goodness to you? Do you remember what it was for him to pull you out and draw you out of your lost state and to give you the benefits of your salvation and those things, the good things of God? We ought to have joy in the Lord. We ought to rejoice in his glory and goodness to us. We need to acknowledge his worth. Okay, secondly, we're to acknowledge the rejection of your king. Let's look at these verses. There's two points to this as well. First of all, Samuel brings him to the place of agreeing with God. And then secondly, he brings him to the place of repentance and moving forward, because you can't move back. I realize that I'm talking to a congregation of people this morning, and there's a great number of you that have entered into a place where you can't go back. This day in our city, there are those that, young ladies that have gotten pregnant, and they can't go back. You can't, it's past the point of return. There are people that have lost their virginity, and you can't go back. You're past the point of return. You can only go forward by the grace of God at those points. But it's essential, and the process that Samuel takes them through, there's some great principles and to lay to heart of what is necessary to pick up the pieces, you see, because when Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, you can't put him back together again. The consequences are already spread out there. And of course, as pastor's heart, for each one of you, the desire would be that before Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, that you are vigilant, that you have the perspective to look ahead and avoid such things. And Samuel would have loved for them to avoid being at this point with their king, but it's too late for that. And so Samuel moves them on, and that's what is necessary in these verses, and what the big lesson of these verses. Let's look at verses 12 and 13 then. Okay, when you saw Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us. Although, look here, the Lord your God was your king. So they replaced God. They wanted a human king to go out before them and fight their battles when they had the best that there was, the best king. Okay, verse 13, now therefore here is the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Okay, so there's an agreement on God's part. He set this king over them. He appointed the king, but they wanted a king. They were the ones that demanded it. They were the ones that asked for it. They rejected the king for a king. Bad problem. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, listen to his voice, and rebel not against the command of the Lord, then both you and also your king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. And if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Okay, here's a point to be made. This is conditional. And it's conditioned not upon the king saving them. God raised up, he sent Moses and Aaron, and God saved through Moses and Aaron. God saved through Samuel and through the judges that he raised up before them, and God, their king, will save through their human king as well. And they need to understand that. Our salvation, all deliverance, comes from God. Your parents can't save you. Your friends can't deliver you. Your Family can't save you. No one but the Lord. He is the God of our salvation. And so do not rebel. Listen. Do not rebel, but turn and hear his voice. Listen to the voice of God. Okay? Thirdly, acknowledge your rebellion. Look at verses 16 through 18. Even now, take your stand. I like that statement. Take your stand. Okay, so this is like in a courtroom. Take your stand and see the great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking yourselves a king. So Samuel called the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. So here it's wheat harvest. Now in Israel, that would be May and June. Okay, so it's that during a time of Pentecost. In the spring, there was the barley harvest that took place in March, and then the wheat harvest came in May and June, and so this rain and this storm could destroy the crop. So Samuel is saying, this is greatly displeasing to God, and you're not hearing me, and so God is going to demonstrate how serious your rebellion is. Okay, so that's what happens in these verses. Then we move on to verses 19 through 25, and he brings them to a place of repentance. Look at verses 19. Okay, here there's a confession, an acknowledgement of sin. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Okay, so they finally acknowledge that, hey, this wasn't such a great idea to acknowledge a king, and it was important for us to see that Samuel considered it an important thing that they come to that place. And Samuel and God were willing to do some pretty spectacular big things to bring them to the place of acknowledgement. And confession of sin is very, very important for our relationship with the Lord, for the establishment of fellowship with him again. So we find that in verse 19. Then we find repentance taking place in verses 20 through 22. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. So we've had confession as they repent and say, okay, we did this. And we're turning from that. He says, don't turn aside from following the Lord. Don't turn back, in other words. Okay? Verse 21, and you must not turn aside. He uses that again. For then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. Okay? And then verse 22, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. So, at that point of no return, it is often that we want to try to reverse our steps and go back. And Samuel is warning against this. He is encouraging them at this point to forge ahead. The king has been appointed. You remember at Kadesh Barnea? You remember what happened there? The troops were there. It was 11 days march from Mount Sinai. They come up, they move up north. Kadesh Barnea is there, and they're ready to go into the promised land. And they go out, they send out spies, 10 spies, or 12 spies, 10 of them come back and say, we can't do this. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go get it. Okay? But they refuse. And so they disobey God and say, we're not going to take the city. And so God says, okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They say, oh, we messed up. So let's go take the city. But now to take the city becomes sin. Okay? It becomes, again, further disobedience to God. And the problem is that here with Samuel and with the nation of Israel, Samuel doesn't want them to go back at this point. Don't make me your judge. It's over. You're at this point now. Go forward. Okay? You've gotten pregnant. Have the baby. Don't abort the baby. Okay? You've gone this far. Don't add to the sin. You know, go forward from the point that you have begun at in the grace of God. You see, notice here that he lavishes out grace. Look at that verse again in verse 22. The Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name. And was it because of their goodness or because of their works or what they had done? No, it's because God is faithful to his covenant. And I want to say to you this morning that God is faithful to you. I don't know how bad some of you may be messed up this morning. I don't know how many of us might have gone in one area of our lives or another to the point of no return. But I do know this, on the authority of God's word, that the answer is God's grace and the relationship that you have with him in Jesus Christ in the covenant that he has made through his son. You see, Jesus has covered your sin. He's paid the penalty for that sin. And the only thing that you can do is move forward in integrity with courage in the grace of God at that point. I long as a pastor to see our people live in good health. You know, you want to see healthiness and that the blessing of God on your lives. And if you obey him, if you walk in his ways, there will be great blessing. But if you've messed up, so often it's the tendency is to try to cover your tracks and to step back and try to relive something, and you can't do it. You have to move on in God's grace. It's the principle that is here, and it's a big principle, a huge principle. And one that I would hope that after this morning, if you haven't grasped and hung on to it before, that it would be established in your heart in such a way that you would know that by the grace of God, when you repent, that you can move forward and move on with God's purposes and plan for your life. Okay. Thirdly, remember his faithfulness. In verses 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Now, how can we not address the character of Samuel at this point? I mean, he has been rejected as being judge. He has every reason to turn his back on these people, and he no longer has this place of authority. And maybe that's a relief to Samuel. I'm sure in many ways it is, but he is faithful. And he says, you know, the king now has this place of rule over you. I submit to that king, and I submit to you that as a prophet and as a citizen here in Israel, that I will be faithful to continue to pray for you, to instruct you in the good and the right way. Now, there is a person that is not selfish. There is a man that understands the grace of God and the power of God and has known the God and creator of the heavens and the earth. And he responds in such a way. May we have such an attitude and heart. Only fear the Lord, verse 24, and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king shall be swept away. The realities are that our response to God's truth, our response to rebellion toward authority that he's placed over us, toward the good things that he desires to do, is often hindered by our stubbornness, by our sin, and by the problem of our heart. And so we need to learn some rich lessons in this passage. Let's look at and consider some points here that we might just close with in consideration of some of these truths. Cry out to the Lord quick and often. Go to him in humility and seek the Lord in a time when he's there to be found, before you go past the point of no return. Before you get to that place, humble yourselves to him. Cry out. That phrase of crying out with a voice is a cry of distress, of one that realizes, and to be prudent, to look ahead and to see these pitfalls in life, the traps that are there, and to look through the grid of Scripture to see life God's way is very important to our good health and spiritual health of us as individuals. Don't seek human solutions for your messes. You see, they thought it out really well. I mean, they got together and there was a lot of people that counseled, and they decided that they needed a king to rule and to go out before them. And so they, what they looked for was, because of their rebellion and idolatry and idolatrous worship, and things had gotten bad, their circumstances had gotten bad, so they tried to figure out a way so that their circumstances would not be quite as painful, but they wouldn't have to deal with the realities of their sin before God. And that's the way we are. It's just the rebellious nature that is within us, and we must learn to go to Him quick. We must not seek human solutions, but God's solutions. Face consequences with courage and integrity. Now, here's a place, a point in time in our lives where we have to look. We've already passed the point of no return. And so with courage, we have to say, okay, where do we go from here? I take the point of David. David, you know, when he committed his sin with Bathsheba, it was always interesting to me, because it's the most likely and most usual thing that he would despise Bathsheba. You see, Bathsheba is, every time he looks at her, he sees a sin. You can't help but do that. But David, rather than throwing her out and removing her from his presence, David took Bathsheba and made a promise to her that it would be her son, Solomon, who would reign on the throne. Don't you find that astounding? I find it amazing. It is a man that understands grace. You see, we're so hardened in our self-righteousness that we would be more likely to cast that person out and more likely to do whatever we could to get away from having to look at it moment by moment and day by day. But David took his ugly sin and saw the grace of God. He moved on from the point of no return into the magnificent, marvelous, wonderful grace of God. And that's what we need. We need to see Him in such a way. We need to love God in that kind of way, so that we're that confident in the grace that He has given to us when we've entered into those places of no return, that He will see us through. He'll see us through the time of the rule of the kings, and His grace will still be there when we cry out to Him, because He is faithful. He is Almighty God. There's no one like Him. It's grace, and He will not forsake His people for His name's sake. Acknowledge God's perspective. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Acknowledge God, life from God's perspective. Look through the grid of Scripture. Learn the principles that are necessary for God's people to have good health and to prosper in life and to glorify the God who created us. It's a good lesson. Confess your sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Learn 1 John 1:9. Write it down if you don't know it. If you don't have it memorized, memorize it. Learn it and keep it near to your heart, because He's always faithful and just to forgive you, because Christ died in your place for that sin that you committed when you passed the point of no return. Okay? Submit to God's discipline and repent. And don't turn, but move forward. Again, in closing, I just want to encourage you, if you've messed up in your life, if you have come to that place of no return, it takes courage, it takes confidence in the grace of God and on His faithfulness to move forward from that place, rather than to go back and try to fix it in your own human, with your own human efforts. And I want to guarantee you this: if you try to ignore God's goodness and His grace and His provision, and if you don't push fear aside and take courage to believe Him and in His grace, then you will try to do things in the energy of the flesh that will put you in a deeper, darker situation. It's the way that God has designed it. You must come to the place in courage of belief. God requires belief in your heart. So if you've come to the place of no return, take courage in the grace of God and move forward in that grace. If you're having trouble, seek counsel, godly counsel, but move forward, don't turn back. Father in heaven, we thank You for the multitude of Thy mercies. Lord, your word has said, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word.